This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, we talked about this earlier, but just to review it, the NFL announced that the Super Bowl champs, the Seattle Seahawks, will open the season on the Wednesday of week one, instead of hosting the usual Thursday night opener. The change is being made because the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers will open their season in Melbourne, Australia, in a game that will be broadcast on Thursday night in the United States. The Seahawks will play on NBC at 8:20 p.m. Eastern. The league has not announced their week one opponent just yet, so we don't know the answer on that side. RG3, Michael, Robert Griffin III, is heading to another training camp, this time for flag football. The Heisman Trophy winner and former NFL quarterback received an invitation from USA Football to two training camps starting next month in California. He's running for a spot on the 2026 team, USA Flag Football Squad, that will take part in the World Championships later this summer in Germany. If things go well, he might be in the mix for a spot when the sport makes its Olympic debut at the 2028 LA Games. Cool. Good for RJ. RJ, man.
Awesome. He is still fast.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Like he has pride in his speed, so even though I didn't like him as a football player,
Loved him as a football player. I was a big RG3 guy, man. But Mike Shanahan ruined him. Mike Shanahan ruined RG3. Shouldn't have played him. When he hurt that knee, bringing him back, shouldn't have done it, Mike.
I agree. Should have gone with, was it Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins.
Wow. Kirk Cousins.
Huh. Wasn't it Kirk?
Yeah. He's been
Dude, Kirk was Shanahan's guy. Shanny wanted Kirk Cousins. That was a while ago. Can you believe that? Kirk's had a very interesting journey in the NFL. So good for RJ3, man. The 21-point last night for Arkansas. Sorry, Faith. Got to do it. The 21-point loss for Coach John Calipari last night for Arkansas was the worst one with him as head coach. Crazy. The 21-point loss is the largest for Arkansas Coach John Calipari in the NCAA tournament. Some good games last night. The Purdue game was actually really, really good, but these two were kind of duds for the most part. But did you watch any? Did you watch any basketball last night? Nothing?
I did not.
Michael, come on, man. Kelvin Sampson. I love Kelvin Sampson, head coach of Houston. Houston did not deliver in the whole show pressure cooker, as we talked about earlier, Michael. He addressed his future, though, and what he's going to do next. He said, "We all have our time, but I think coaches have to understand when their time is. I mean, we all know this is a young man's game. I still like it, but we're all going to step away eventually. I haven't really thought about that to the point where I can share anything, but I'm not going to get in anybody's way, though. If I'm in somebody's way or if I'm overstaying my welcome, I'd be the first one to leave." He's 70 years old. He's a 70-year-old basketball coach, and he's done a really good job, man. Houston's always really, I mean, they've been good under him quite a bit. It was a bad showing last night. Just offense was not there for this team. But he's one of the good ones. Like, I'm a big Kelvin Sampson fan. I pick Houston probably because I'm more rooting for him. But at some point, the guy's going to call it quits. All right, judge denies push to make DraftKings stop using March Madness. Now, we're not supposed to use March Madness, Michael. We're not supposed to say it. We can kind of say it because we carry the coverage courtesy of Westwood One, but we can't really use it in branding purposes off the air. So, like, we can't print flyers and stuff that say, here, March Madness on KFKA. But we can say March Madness on the station, which is wild.
Yeah, we can't say our March Madness party.
Right.
Because we're not officially affiliated with
the party,
March Madness.
The party is not officially affiliated with March Madness. However, our coverage is officiated with Westwood One's coverage of March Madness.
Yeah, the NFL does that too with the Super Bowl.
So a federal judge Thursday denied the NCAA's motion for a temporary restraining order to stop DraftKings from using registered trademarks associated with its men's and women's basketball tournaments. The complaint for trademark infringement filed in Southern District of Indiana last week requested that DraftKings stop using March Madness, Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, and variations of those terms to promote its business. Judge Tanya Walton Pratt ruled that the NCAA did not show how the online sportsbook's use of the terms would cause irreparable harm. With further discovery, quote, the NCAA may be able to show they are entitled to a preliminary or permanent injunction, and those claims remain pending. DraftKings has been using March Madness and other familiar terms to refer to the NCAA tournament for more than 5 years and has the legal right to do so, the sports book said in a court filing on Wednesday.
Yeah. What's really interesting is how March Madness is so widely used. Like, at some point, if it becomes more widely used, they could lose their trademark on it. Kind of like the song Happy Birthday. The Happy Birthday song used to be copyright protected, but it was
really so
widely used, it's now a judge ruled it's in the public domain. So I'm wondering at what point, if it becomes so widely used
that they can't
would
keep fighting,
it be taken away from them?
That the NCAA couldn't keep you from using that term?
Yeah. I mean, I think Super Bowl is fine. I think the NFL is fine with Super Bowl. March Madness, people just say that just feels, I get a different feel from that. I feel like people who don't even watch college basketball or any college sport use that more.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been weird to me because you're told you got to say the big dance, and then I think they even kind of got pissy about that too, didn't they?
Yeah, the NFL tried to copyright the big game, and I think they got slapped down with that. Three-peat's another one. Three-peat's another one that has a trademark on it, but people use that outside of, I forget that Miami Heat coach who wrote the book and trademarked that, but it's not used that much, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've always thought it was just kind of silly. But again, I get it, and that's one of my favorite things, actually, like when I was going back to college. Like the trademark law, all that stuff was really fascinating to me, of what you can use and how you can use it. And what's, like you just said, the Happy Birthday song, if it becomes so big, when do you get to the point where it's like, now you're just like not even allowing anyone to talk, right? I mean, we just keep trademarking all this big stuff and we're not even able to call it the, hey, you want to come over for the party? Hey, I've got a big party. Like we have to edit ourselves. Didn't Family Guy do an episode on that, like FCC stuff?
Yeah, it's so dumb. There's a lawyer he's actually a patent lawyer. And he says he's actually against all this stuff, even though that's his job. He's against it. He's basically like, this is against innovation. Like all these patents and stuff, it's against innovation. Just, you know, let people use it.
Yeah. I mean, I get some of the parameters because you know, being able to use it like to, I don't know, man, because you can see how people can say it's an official March Madness party. And then if I'm like, oh, wow, are you guys like affiliated with the NCAA? And then if I go there and let's say it's a drunken fiasco of a night and it's bad, then now I've tagged my bar, my restaurant, and said I'm the official March Madness place. And you said you're affiliated with them. You just allowed people to get hammered and potentially even drive off and get a DUI. Yeah, this is a bad look for the NCAA. Like an NCAA sanctioned party. You can see why it kind of gets that way.
I totally agree. There's another one that's really fascinating. There was a daycare that put up Disney paintings all over the place, and they got a cease and desist from Disney because, you know, if too many people use Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, they're going to lose that trademark. So I think it was Warner Brothers or Universal, one of them, wrote them a letter and gave them permission to use their cartoon characters, which is really funny. It's a victory in the court of public opinion, but it shows how copyright and trademark can be a little ridiculous sometimes.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. 16 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break here. We'll see what Tanner Schwint's up to. We got Rockies in action tonight. Game number one, the Dirty 30, the quest to shave our beards and cut our hair begins. We're all fresh today, man. Today's looking good. In about a month or so, that's when things start to get a little rocky.
July 31st.
All right, we'll see. All right, man. We'll be right back.
You heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL on KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
But certainly a new feel around the Rockies, Michael. And, you know, when Dick Monfort kind of stepped away, not necessarily down, but away, and put Walker Monfort more or less in charge. It's Walker Monfort, and then you have President of Baseball Operations, Paul DePodesta, and then Josh Burns, the GM. And it was Walker, when it was first announced it was going to be Walker, it was like, I'll be honest, like, oh, good. It's just going to be another guy within the family, and he's going to probably do the same thing similar to what his dad did. There's going to be a philosophy there, but it just doesn't sound like that. And with him bringing in Paul DePodesta, and I know the jokes are there with the Cleveland Browns and all that stuff, but this is an innovative baseball guy. And in his time with the Browns, it wasn't like it was all bad. There were a few playoff runs when he was there in their front office. It just, you know, they're trying to get into the analytics more. I'm optimistic about this. And I've been one of those guys. It's like, sell the team. Sell the team. And people get mad at me because I'm a capitalist kind of guy. I believe in that. But I also think owning a team is a different. It puts you in a different, maybe not legally, but you owe it to a fan base to put your team in the best spot. You know, you owe it to your fan base to win and to hire guys capable of trying to help your baseball team improve. And if year after year after year it only gets worse and then you muddy the waters with some of the things that Dick Monfort has said, it can get very frustrating. And it just, as a fan, it makes me really upset. And I just, again, I almost hold owners to Michael to like a political figure. Like, I know you're making money and all this stuff, but you serve the fans. The fans.
It's a completely unique business, sports teams are.
You're right.
You don't have a certain product. Yes, you have jerseys and little knickknacks that have the logo on them, but it's a sports team, and the goal, yes, is to make money, but also it's to win. if you're making money and not winning, that's only half the point. You're serving yourself and some of the people that you're working with. You're not serving the fans.
Well, this is why they put in place, like the NBA, for example. We were talking about Donald Sterling yesterday. It's like, this is why they put amendments in your contract, bullet points in your contracts that are like, if you do anything detrimental to the franchise or the league, you can lose your franchise, you can lose your team. And obviously what Donald Sterling did was detrimental to the league when his racist comments were recorded and blasted for the world to hear. But also, like, if you are bad, that's one thing. But we know, like, Dick Monfort has responded to emails in the late hours of saying, I don't even know, maybe Colorado doesn't deserve a baseball team. That kind of stuff to me is detrimental. Not to that scope, obviously. But I don't like that kind of thing, man. And that, this is where I'm saying, you buy a team, you do what Rob Manfred and the Walter Penner Group, you do what they do. What do they do, Mike? They invested right off the bat. They're talking about a new stadium, and they're gonna cover it, and they're spending the money on coaches. They're spending the money on free agents. They're trying everything they possibly can. They're upgrading the facilities in order to serve the fans. That's what this industry, man. It is very close to. It is very close to politics, isn't it? You're serving the fans. You run for a political office, you're supposed to serve the people, not yourself, but we know how that goes sometimes. But in the world of sports, when you buy, if you buy a team and you're a billionaire that buys a team, you're not working for yourself. It's not a bottom line thing anymore. I know it is, but your job is also to help take care of the fans. And that's why I've always been, back when the NFL was on their strike, about to go on their strike, and they only missed the Hall of Fame game, I was accused of sounding socialist because I said the owners need to be the ones to give in on that, not the players. Any other business, I might argue. But in sports, it was like, you're either not going to have the league or you're going to have replacement players, or you cross over a little bit more and you give a little bit more to your players.
Both have to give in. If the players are demanding something ridiculous,
which
then the owners probably have to hold out a little more. But they do. They both have to come to the table. And a lot of times the NFL owners and sports owners in general can get a little ridiculous. And I don't know. I'm not in those meetings. I wish Pat Bowlen was still around, or I wish there was someone with the spirit of Pat Bowlen who was really good at reaching across the aisle.
He remember his letter he put out during the strike? He apologized to the city of Denver. He apologized to the fans and said, we will get this fixed. We will put this on us to fix this. And that's what happened. So for everyone calling me a socialist on that take, the owners gave in because they saw the writing on the wall. They knew what was right. They knew what they needed to do in order to keep the league going. Anyway, my point is on ownership with a team and how I was really frustrated with Dick Monfort over the years, and fans still are. People are still pissed. Even this fun, goofy beard haircut thing we're doing, I'm getting like comments of just, oh, you're never going to shave that thing because Dick Monfort's going to continue running this franchise to the ground. Here's what I respect. They're trying something new. They went outside of the organization, not with Walker Monfort, but Walker Monfort went with outside of the organization and brought Paul DePodesta, who's actually a college, you know, he was in Boulder for a long time. I think he grew up around there. But they went outside of the Rockies organization and brought some other fresh minds in so you can have a fresh approach. It might be bad. They still might be bad, Mike. They're still probably not going to be a good baseball team. But this might be the building block year. This might be the start of something. And I don't know. I like some of these players. A lot of these players I don't know much about. That's where we're going to lean on Tanner heavily until we can get into game action, which is tonight. I'll be dialed in on that. They might be pretty bad, but they're trying something different. And that's what I'm really excited about with Walker Monfort running things, man. I think it's time to see some kind of change. And I loved what Troy Rank wrote in the Denver Post. He wrote, "Admit it, you grew disgusted with the Rockies. Might have stopped going to the games, leaving great seats for opposing teams' fans. Maybe you gave up on them entirely. Hard to blame you. A decade later, the Rockies abandoned their insular thinking, fired deadweight president Greg Fiesel and general manager Bill Schmidt. They ditched their AOL account, exchanged their flip phones, and turned on Bluetooth." And as simple as Rank is making it sound right there, that was the sentiment that fans were feeling, Michael, was that this team was not only putting bad players out on the field, they weren't catching up to any of the current analytics that are in use by teams. They didn't really have many guys on staff that believed in analytics. Your whole Moneyball thing, the Rockies weren't buying into that. And then what do? They go hire a guy that was part of the Moneyball creation. The deep dive into analytics, the on-base percentage, and deep, deep thinking that goes beyond whether a guy looks like he can blast 50 home runs. And that's what I'm excited about, to see this, how it's going to look. And you know, the other thing, they didn't change everything. They stuck with Warren Schaefer. And some people weren't crazy about that, but I liked that move as well. Young manager who was put in an impossible position last year, but I think a young manager that might buy into some of these ideas that Dee Podesta and Josh Burns are going to throw out. So I'm actually optimistic. I'm not saying this is a playoff team. I'm not saying this is a team that I don't even feel that confident with my 64 win total. But I think we're on the right path, and I feel like for the first time in a while, especially the last 3 years, it feels like they're trying something in that front office to get people excited, to start moving things in the right direction.
Yeah, I think what they were doing was basically banging their head against the wall, saying, hopefully we can break down this wall. Now, at least they're actually trying to look for a door. Like that was the biggest criticism against them is, oh, a guy from the organization, this guy will do it. Now they're looking outside the organization. It may fail miserably. At least they're trying something different. And I don't think they're going to be a 30-win team. I don't think they're going to be a 40-win team. A 50-win team, that's a huge improvement. Yeah, they're not going to
be
very
huge.
Good.
Yeah, compared to where they were, you know, yeah, compared to where this team's been.
I think there is going to be, and I'll say it now, I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team within the next 5 years, but they're not going to be this horrible, horrible, worst franchise in Colorado by far. I think they'll have a couple of decent years. If they don't make the playoffs, they don't.
I mean, even if you're saying you think they're gonna, you got them at 50, is that right?
I have them at 50. I think they'll be decent in the next few years. It might take them a few years.
I think it's gonna take a few years.
But they're not gonna be horrible.
They won 43 games last year. 43. Our goal was to get to 30. They only went over that by 13 games, Michael. I don't believe it's going to be a 43. It's not going
to
be that bad. I don't believe so. I think they're going to get into the 60s.
Well,
which
if
they get to my 64,
the
they won't have 100 losses, so that would be good.
I said this off the air. I believe they'll win 50, but I'm rooting for you to win, so the Rockies are better.
I'd be pumped if by the end of April we're sitting in the teens. I'd be pretty pumped about that. Then it's looking pretty good for our situation.
I hope they're able to get 64, 65 wins, but most of them at the end of the season, so you guys have to grow your hair as long as possible.
Normally the first month or two I'm good. Kind of liking the look. And then once we get into that third month, that's when things kind of change, and I'm like, oh, boy.
You can grow a decent beard.
I can, but it's got to be groomed at some point, because then it just starts to get long and shaggy looking. The rules are, by the way, we can trim around the lip region. Like,
yes,
we can keep
yes.
the hair from hanging over the lips. We can shave the neck, the sides of the neck, and Tanner, like the throat area. We can do that.
That's too many asterisks.
The sides? Like, I get stray hairs on the sides, like around my ears. You got to be able to shave that. I got to look somewhat presentable, Mike.
Are you allowed to shave your ear hair?
Yes. It's not part of your beard.
See, my thing would
be face. If it's on your face, you can't touch it other than the part that hangs over the lip, because that wouldn't technically be face. But
what about the part right below the nose?
Yeah, let that go.
Oh, then you got to put some beard stuff there to make sure it doesn't curl up and start tickling the nose hairs.
We'll have to get some beard oil. There's no doubt about that. We'll definitely have to get some beard oil. That will be happening. But hey, listen, man, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think this team, you know, TJ Rumfield, who's my guy. Who'd you go with? Do you remember who you went with? Oh, he's not even, I don't even know if he's playing tonight. But they got like four or five guys that I'm excited to see. You know, Hunter Goodman, stud. Brenton Doyle, stud. I think Ezekiel Tovar, I think he's going to have a really good year this year based on gut feel. That's it. I'm excited to see what TJ Rumfield can do. I'm excited to see how they handle their pitchers, to be honest. Like, how's that? We keep hearing that they're going to maybe be a little unorthodox in how they handle their rotation. Does that mean that starters aren't going to be asked to go as much, even if they're having a successful start? Are they going to go six innings? That was the big deal when Bud Black got here, was his push was, we're going to have pitchers that go at least six innings. And I'm not so sure that's the strategy we're going to see with Warren Schaefer. That's why tonight, first game, won't tell us everything, but it will give us a good idea. I haven't really been watching a lot of spring training. I know Chase Dolander, people are worried about him and where he's going to sit. He's not going to be in the starting rotation. Well, he struggled pretty big in spring ball. So they're not going to just hand over the keys just because, you know, you got a good name and you were a first-round pick in 2023. We're going to make you earn it. And I'll be curious to see how he handles that, you know, being a bullpen guy rather than one of the starting pitchers. And I am also excited about Kyle Freeland. Tanner thinks I'm crazy, but I think he's going to have a great season. I'm excited for Kyle Freeland. Maybe that's more hopeful thinking, but he's a Colorado dude, man. I'm just rooting for it more than anything.
I'm going to say that that's hopeful thinking.
Probably.
I'm agreeing with Tanner on that.
Maybe so. But, you know, he's a staple. And I want to see him have a really solid season, and that starts tonight.
A staple is in the kind you get when you get injured?
No, he's going to be just great. You're doubting him. You just keep doubting him, Michael. And we'll see what happens at the end of the day.
I'll doubt him, but one of us is going to get pizza from Big City Roadhouse.
Or something else. They have so many options over there. 38 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's take a quick break and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right. Also tonight, Mike, we have the Denver Nuggets in action going up against the Utah Jazz. It's another one of those games. They really need to win. You know, as I'm really wanting to avoid the Minnesota first round. I don't know why. I think
don't
that's
be scared.
Well, Minnesota has just had their way with Denver. They just seem more physical against the Nuggets. I kind of worry about playing the Lakers in the first round, though.
I hope they play the Lakers, and I hope they sweep them.
Oh, I do too. Obviously.
I mean, my attitude
great,
is bring them on.
But Luka is he's on a different planet right now. Currently, the Nuggets are sitting in fourth place. They are five and a half games ahead or out of the play-in spot, so that's good. A win tonight probably gets us. It wouldn't be mathematical yet, but it probably gets Denver out of the play-in. So that's a good spot to be in. We don't want to mess with that 100%. But they gotta handle Utah tonight, man. And I haven't seen the injury report just yet on who's potentially going to be out, because I know there's no one listed on their injury report at this point, so that's a good sign. But with eight games remaining, there's four or five in there that you just have to have, and one of those being tonight against Utah. They play Golden State, still no Steph Curry, so you got to think they should win that one on Sunday night. Then they're at Utah again. They need to win the next three. My nine in a row thing didn't last very long, Michael. They went 1-1, but then they haven't lost since. So I was close. I was close to that, but
it was a bold prediction.
It was a bold prediction.
I mean, you complained about me for like, you're 17-0. You have your own bold prediction sometimes.
Yeah, nine wins. Come on, but in fairness, that loss against Memphis was not supposed to be there. That game wasn't supposed to be there. So that might have an asterisk next to it because that was a rescheduled game that they weren't planning for. So it doesn't count.
Oh, you're trying to punk out on this.
No, I don't think so. I think that doesn't count. We could say that. Joker was asked to evaluate his game, his season this year, and I think he's had a really good year, but he says he's been inconsistent overall. And I mean, man, it hasn't been the jokery of, I mean, he was off to an amazing start to the season. He was looking awesome. And then he got hurt. And I think it's just been kind of a slower bounce back, but I'm okay, man. I think he's reserving something. I do. I think he's going to pull out all stops once we get into the playoffs. But he was asked, the Denver Post, Bennett Durando, asked him to evaluate his season at this point. You know, in the MVP race and all that stuff, because he's probably not going to win it. Joker said, I think for me, it was a little bit inconsistent just because injury, and then it was the first time I was coming back from an injury, then the turnovers and good games are going to happen. Bad games, bad missed shots are going to happen, but it was just something new for me. I will say inconsistent. Yeah, that's the thing we got to remember. The guy doesn't get hurt. He doesn't play in a way that really gets him, you know, sets up for a lot of big-time key injuries, so this has been uncharted territory for him this season. And then coming back from an injury like that, I mean, he's missed a couple of games due to maybe soreness and something, nothing major. So for him to have something that kept him out for almost a month and then try to get back into it, this was new for him. You know, guys like Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, they've dealt with that a lot. So it's been new for the Joker. So is he going to win the MVP? No. I would say we're pretty comfortable. I'm pretty comfortable saying that right now, unless we're just shocked. But now it's just about, okay, is there going to be enough in the tank? And it should be. Our guy is going to be able to stay healthy by the time we actually get into those playoffs. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Yes, Michael.
So the Nuggets are in fourth place right now.
Fourth place, yes, you're right.
With all those injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Without those injuries, where would they be, hypothetically,
ooh,
according to you?
Good question. They're 11 games behind the Thunder. I would maintain that this team would be at 50. I'm going to say this team would be at 50 wins right now. No, because they won a lot. They won a lot when those guys were out. I'll give them four more wins. I would say they'd be 50. They'd be in 30th place right now. 30th. They'd be in third place right now. Probably five games behind the Spurs, so still not good enough to chase down the Spurs or the Thunder in those first two spots.
You're saying they're six games better.
I would say they're probably five or six games better.
That's it?
Well, they won quite a few games when everyone was out. It was getting them back in that kind of seemed to be difficult for David Adelman to navigate through. So it's hard for me to say they'd be like 10 games better because they were actually winning. They went on a nice stretch there, you know, when all of them were out. When Joker was out, when Gordon was out, when Brown was out, when Cam Johnson was out. It's a lot. It's your four of your starters were out.
Were they winning a lot when Jokic was out?
When did Joker go out? What was their record when Joker went out? That was before the All-Star break. So was that, did he miss, he missed January. He missed most of January. So when Joker went down, it was the Miami game, wasn't it? And he, the Nuggets were 22-10. They had just, they lost to Miami. And that was the game. They were 22-10. So pretty good. Yeah, that was the game he got hurt. They lost 147-123 once Joker went down. 22-10. And then after he goes down, let's see here. They were, I'm going to say 5 or 6, Mike. I'm comfortable saying 5 or 6. 5 or 6 games better because they were actually okay when all those guys were out. Let's take a quick break. Wrap up hour number 2. Tanner Schwint's going to join us. Talk some Colorado Rockies coming up shortly. We'll be right back.
Hear every single game. We have the madness on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I want to shout out to Renaissance Insurance Group. They are awesome. Ryan Hicks is the guy. Formed by 2 UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago, Renaissance Insurance, they believe that, man. They've always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County, and are also the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Trust me here, gang. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. Michael, the whole show pressure cooker is coming up next. Also, Tanner Schwint will join us, and we'll talk all things Colorado Rockies coming up in just a moment. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.